Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Starting in verse 47, if you don't have, if you don't want to run through your Bible as quick, we'll have it up on the screen for you as well. Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord, your God, joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord that the Lord has sent against you, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck, until he has destroyed you. Well, that's encouraging. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting in verse 5, says this, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, and it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Let's pray together one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the work that you are doing and how you continue to produce good work in us, God. This is your good plan, and that you work all things out for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purposes. And Lord, you tell us in your word that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that you actually send your word out to accomplish things in the world that you desire to accomplish. You said your word does not return to you empty, it does not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you set it out to do. You tell us in scripture that you watch over your word so that it will perform everything that you desire it to perform. So we ask that you would perform that in our hearts today. Give us clarity, give us eyes to see and ears to hear so we can understand, Lord, how to pursue you in prayer in a way that will produce much joy in us. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we ready? I really like how Jace kind of takes our worship service nice and slow because it's a good contrast because I typically like to run fast and break things. So if I go too fast for you, I apologize. It's kind of like a personality thing. And if you're a note taker, I do have slides that you can write notes about, so that'll be helpful. Like I said earlier, I'm not really on staff here, but I do teach a class in the School of Ministry, and right now we're in a class called Abiding Habits. And the Abiding Habits, really, it's just, it looks like this. There are two stories that are in competition for your heart. There's two stories that are in competition for your soul, right? It's the story of this world, and it's the story of God. And when we talk about abiding habits, we kind of base it on this premises, that the story of God and the story of this world are juxtaposed to each other. They're like playing tug of war for your life, right? And to live in the story of this world is just to allow your life to default to the story of this world. But if you're going to live in the story of God, it requires you to have the right attitudes and the right habits to be able to find yourself in the middle of this story. This is fast. Are we tracking? Adam, I need some thumbs up from you and Julie to make sure I'm saying everything the right way. And so whenever we find ourselves, wherever we find our habits and our attitudes, that will be the story that we find ourselves in. And so the Israelites, when we were reading Deuteronomy, God was bringing them into the promised land, and he says, listen, I'm going to bless you. I am going to make you prosperous. I am going to give you gold. I'm going to give you silver. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you livestock. I'm going to give you farms. I'm going to give you grain. I'm going to give you crops. I'm going to bless you, and you are going to be prosperous, and you are meant to be prosperous in order for you to be a blessing to the nations around you. And I'm going to warn you, the danger of prosperity is that you will begin what the New Testament calls to worship and serve the created thing instead of the Creator. We as humans have a proclivity to worship and serve the gift rather than the giver who blessed us with the gift in the first place. And he said, this is what will happen to you. You will become prosperous, and if you allow your life to default, you will ultimately default into the story of this world. But if you will love and serve and follow me, you will have a design that will allow you to find your home abiding in the story of God. And this is what I tell my kids every single morning, that our lives are not lives at the default. We live a life by design, not by default. If any of you have ever been in business with me, you know where that came from, right? That we live a life by design, not by default. That default always leads to living and finding our place in the story of the world. But the design that God has given us causes us to abide and find our home in Him. Why is this important? It's important because we are pursuing joy. And joy is not merely a decision that we get to make. It's not a light switch that we just get to turn on, wake up one day and be like, well, I decide I'm going to live in joy today. Because joy is not a choice. Joy is a fruit that is produced from our life. How is fruit produced? John 15 told us that very thing. It says that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. And if I abide in you and you abide in me, then you will produce much fruit. What does that mean to produce fruit? Galatians 5 said the same thing, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Abiding in God will produce the joy in your life. And when you abide in Christ, you are finding yourself in the story of God, and the Spirit of God is working life in you, and joy is being produced as a fruit from you. Am I tracking? But how come whenever I try to pray, I don't feel like joy is being produced? There are three reasons that I came up with why joy is not produced when we pray. Number one, we go to God as our last resort, right? Something happens in our life, and we might find ourselves in the story of this world, the story of the flesh, everything that is apart from God, and we exhaust ourselves in the story of this world trying to find our own answers. We are trying to get for ourselves what God Himself had promised to provide, but because of sin, we're like, no, thank you. I can do it my way, my own way, and do it however I want. And so we exhaust ourselves over and over and over again in the story of the world, trying to meet the answers that we have in our life. And then what ends up happening is we find out that it doesn't work. So then we're like, well, okay, as a last resort, I guess I'll go to God. And here's the crazy kicker. We can go to God as a last resort, and God will still answer us. But if God answers us, why is it not producing joy in us? Because when God answers us, although we came to Him as a last resort and He did what He was going to do, we had spent all of our time, energy, and efforts in the story of this world, and when we finally get the answer, we're too exhausted to even be thankful for the thing that God had done. And therefore, joy is not produced. The second reason why joy is not produced is we have a transactional mindset, right? And the transactional mindset has like two sides to the same coin. The transactional mindset, kind of in the West and in our culture, is we only ever pray whenever we want something from God, right? God, I need a new job. God, I need a new house. God, I need a new car. God, I need a new husband. God, I need a new wife. No, I mean, fix my husband, fix my wife. Not a new wife, not a new husband. That's not what I'm saying. And we have all these requests, but hear me out. It is good to bring our requests to God. It is good to bring, the scripture tells us in Philippians, bring your prayers, your petitions, your requests, bring them before the Lord. Ask, it's good to bring our requests to God, right? And if all we ever do is only ask God for stuff, there's a couple things that happen. One, he may give us the stuff that we ask for, but we may be gratified with the stuff, but the gratification only lasts so long, and then we're in want again. Okay, I got that stuff. Now I need more stuff. Okay, now I got that stuff. Now I need more stuff. The other thing is, what if God doesn't answer that prayer? If we ask God for something and he doesn't provide it for us, then we just become disgruntled. Be like, well, God doesn't even listen to my prayers anyway. God doesn't give me the stuff I asked for. So we either become entitled or we become disgruntled. But anyway, if we only ever ask for stuff and we're not praying a more broader expansion of our prayer life, then we become entitled or disgruntled and there's no joy produced. I said with a transactional mindset, there's two sides to that coin. The opposite side of that coin is if we have a transactional mindset, then we will fail to come to God whenever we screw up. Or whenever we think something bad is happening to me. Like right now, and I'm just going to be a little honest, not a lot honest, but just a little honest. My family and I are probably going through the trial of our lives, right? We've been going through the trial of our lives for about 6 to 8 months now. And it is hard. And I was actually talking to my friend, Dr. Joseph B. Savage. If you guys ever need any good advice, you can reach out to him. That doctor part is a prophetic word that he will actually become a doctor. And I told him, I said, Joe, like sometimes I feel like I'm being punished. Things are so hard right now. Sometimes I feel like my life is just cursed. And this is what Joe told me. He said, listen, you can't allow a punitive mindset to take root in your heart. Because if you have a punitive mindset, if you feel like you're just being punished and cursed by God, you're never going to come to God. It's going to prevent you from approaching the throne. It's going to prevent you because I screwed up, transactional, right? Like God is only good when I'm good and God doesn't want me when I'm bad. That transactional mindset prevents us from approaching God in all of his grace and mercy. And when you have a transactional mindset, there can't be any joy produced because it's either making us feel entitled, disgruntled, or punitive. The third reason why joy is not produced when we pray is we don't think that we know how to pray right. Anybody ever thought to themselves, I don't know how to pray right? Right, yeah. I grew up in a church where when I was a kid, most of the adults in that church, they were kind of, their heyday was kind of like 40s, 50s, and 60s, 1940s, 50s, and 60s. And they all prayed really eloquent prayers, which I kind of called like King James prayers, right? they were so decorated with language that we didn't even use in normal talk. Like it was Southeast Kansas. Everybody talked with like Southeast Kansas talk. Like, hey, y'all. And but then when prayer started, prayer turned eloquent. Well, I thought, oh, this must be how you pray. And so then I jumped in and I tried to pray eloquently. And then when it didn't sound right, when it didn't sound good, I felt like I don't think I'm praying correctly. I can't pray the right way. I'm reading a book right now that's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, right? And in this, the author said, the only way you can get prayer wrong is if you try to get it right. The only way you can get prayer wrong is if you try to get it right. And so when you come to the Lord in prayer and you have it in your mind that if the Lord's going to hear my prayer, I got to make this prayer the right way. And then you struggle and you strive and you struggle and you strive to try to pray the right way, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to end up getting it wrong because the focus of your heart and the focus of your mind is in the wrong place. And he goes on to say, he said, the way you should pray is to pray how you can and not how you can't. If you're going to pray to the Lord, you should pray how you can. You pray like a Southeast Kansas hillbilly. So you should pray like a Southeast Kansas hillbilly. You are not a 1940s, 50s, or 60s eloquent King James prayer, so don't try to pray like that. Because whenever we try to pray the right way, we get frustrated feeling like we're doing it the wrong way, and then no joy is able to be produced. Am I tracking? All right. Whew. Need to breathe. That was all in one breath. So, how does prayer bring us joy? This is the question that should be answered. How does prayer bring us joy? The way that prayer brings us joy is this. Number one, children love seeing their fathers perform. Children love to see their fathers perform. I used to play softball. That's an emphasis on used to. And I remember when my kids would come and watch me play every once in a while, I would get up to bat, and I could hear them right behind me on the bleachers. They're like, go, Daddy, go, Daddy. And I'm like, all right. And so I get my bat, and I swing it around, and I'm getting ready to hit it out of the park. The pitch comes, and I swing as hard as I can. It's like, and I knock it out of the infield. And it's sad. And so I take off running as fast as I can, and I hear the little voices like, yeah, you hit it. Run, Daddy. Run, Daddy. And I'm like, okay. They're like, why are you holding your hamstring? And it's like, because Daddy's getting older. And I'm running, and I'm running. But the performance that I had was pretty subpar. And the reason why it's used to play softball is because people stopped asking me to be on their team. But my kids saw me perform, and they were thrilled. When we find ourselves with the right habits and the attitudes in prayer, we find ourselves finding our home in the story of God, abiding in Christ and the power of Christ flowing through us. And the way we start to produce much fruit is that our eyes and our ears are being tuned in to the Father. And as our eyes and ears are tuned in to the Father, we begin to see the Father working. And children love seeing their Father perform. And as the children of God, when our eyes and our ears and our hearts are centered in on the Father, and we see the work that He is doing ongoing in the world, joy is being produced. The second way that prayer brings us joy is that children love doing things with their father. Last summer, so let me just preface this. I'm a little bit on a weight loss journey, right? TJ Clayton has really helped with that. And I think right now I'm about 35 pounds down. Heading for that big 100 mark. Slowly but surely. But over the summer, I took my kids to that splash park over by, what's that camper place called? Gander. Gander, outdoors. You know, the big inflatables out in the middle of the lake. And so me and my kids went to that park, and we were playing out there, and I just lost some weight, so now I can actually push myself up out of the water without, like, hurting myself. And so we're playing, and it was just a blast. And I was like, come on, guys, let's go have fun. And so I'm taking my kids to do ridiculous things. Like, we climb up to the tall, it's like 10, 12 foot high, on a platform that you jump off. And I'm like, come on, let's do backflips. And we're backflipping off the top of the things, and my kids are like, Dad's gonna kill himself. And you land in the water, and you're fine. And then my older two kids, they're like, no way am I trying that. And they just slide down the slide. My youngest one's like, I'm going to be like Daddy. And he backflips off, and everything's crazy. He lands upside down, and yeah, he hurt himself, but it only hurts until it stops. I try to tell him that all the time. We get done at the splash park, and my son says to me, Dad, I've never seen you have fun before. He said, this was the greatest day ever to be able to have fun with you. Why did he say that? Because children love doing things with their father. When we enter into a place of prayer, we not only begin to see God working, but we see God inviting us in to work with him. He desires us to partner with him to do the work that he's already doing in the world. And the more that we say this in the church a lot, the more that we give God our yes to that invitation, the more we participate with him in the work that he's doing. And joy is being produced. The third way that joy is produced is that we become awestruck at the result of God moving. We have been in so many situations where we have either gone to a church or gone to help a church or do other things that they were near dying, like the church was nearly closed, and the Lord gave us the grace to be able to go in and just kind of help them get jump-started again. And it is amazing to see what happens when life starts happening back in a dead church and people start receiving salvation. People start having their marriages healed. People are delivered from alcoholism and drug abuse. People are delivered from depression and anxiety. People who had no purpose find a purpose. People that never knew God now get to know God. People that have been hurt by other churches and that said, I didn't want anything to do with it because the other churches told me I wasn't even good enough to be in the building. But here I feel like God is just like hugging me. We become awestruck at the results that God is doing. And prayer focuses up our attention on God, our Father, and what he's doing. He invites us in to partner with him. Jesus said, I only ever do what I see the Father doing. And then because he was doing what he saw the Father doing, there was everything that God desired to happen with Jesus was being accomplished, and there was joy being produced in his life, and the joy was so great that he said, the scripture says that for the joy set before him, he endured death, even death on a cross. This is how powerful joy can be. And this is how powerful the joy that comes from seeing the work of God and being awestruck by the work of God propels us and compels us forward to do the things that we know may be dangerous, that we know require sacrifice, that we know may be hard and may not even turn out the way we thought it would turn out. But the love of God and the work of God and everything that God is doing leaves us in such awestruck that it compels us to go forward. And this is how joy is produced in our lives through prayer. So, sermon done. Pray better. Just joking. That is always the next question. If that is how joy is produced, then the question is, how do I then pray so that I can experience joy like that? These are my three favorite ways to pray. This is not an exhaustive list. This is not a pragmatic list or a dogmatic list that says, if you don't pray this way, you're not going to experience the joy of the Lord. But if you have had a struggle in your prayer life and you would like to be able to pray in a way that you feel and sense that God is moving and joy is being produced, these are my top three. Number one is scripted prayers. What are scripted prayers? These are prayers that are already scripted. Easy, right? My favorite scripted prayers are always found in Scripture. Now, I do have a book of common prayer, and I do have other books that focus on prayer, but my favorite prayers are found in Scripture, like the book of Psalms, right? Short, little, easy read. It's not true. Psalms is a really long book. And so I love using the Psalms to pray, even in the New Testament. Anytime I see like the Apostle Paul, he always, in all of his letters, he always has this one phrase. And he says, and I pray for you. And so whenever I see that phrase, and I pray for you, I just try to pray the same prayer that Paul prays. But whenever I go into a time of prayer and I pray scripted prayer, I always start my prayers off with the Lord's Prayer, right? This is, the disciples said, Jesus, we see you pray, we see John pray, John the baptizer, and then we see John's disciples pray. Teach us to pray like that. And he gives them a scripted prayer. And so what's interesting about this prayer is, like, we could pray it just how it's written, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Right? You could pray that prayer and it could be powerful. Some of you are like, ah, Pastor Jeremiah, that's a Catholic prayer. No, it's not. It's a Jesus prayer. It's a prayer Jesus gave. And actually, if you want to get nerdy with me, it's actually a prayer called an Amidah prayer. And that prayer is a Jewish prayer that they prayed every day right around the noon mealtime. And so it was a prayer that they already knew. And so just because the Catholic Church has been praying it for a couple millennia doesn't make it a Catholic prayer. It makes it a prayer that the Lord has given you to pray. Now, I personally don't pray just reciting it word for word. I like to expound on scripted prayers, right? So for example, with the Lord's Prayer, I'll start with Our Father in Heaven, and I'll stop, and I'll just expound on that line, and I'll pray, Our Father in Heaven, God, thank you that you are a good Father. Thank you that even though I have just mixed experiences and bad experiences with my earthly father, Lord, you are nothing like my earthly father. You are my heavenly Father, and you are good, and you love me. It's who you are, and God, I'm so thankful for it. And thankful that you didn't present yourself as a boss over me, that you don't just look at me and you're just examining my performance all the time and you grade me on the performance that I do. Thank you that you are not a judge over me and you are constantly just putting out sentences over me because of the wrongs that I've committed. No, you're not a boss. You're not a judge over me. You are a good Father. And you are loving me, and you are caring for me, and so on and so forth. And the reason why I love scripted prayers so much is they teach me to pray in ways I wouldn't normally think to pray myself. All right. The second way that we pray is honest prayers. The theological term is prayers of lament. We get the book of Lamentations. Whenever we see it in Scripture, these are just prayers of lament. I like to call them honest prayers because this is how David prayed, right? This is most of the Psalms. This is how David prayed, and his prayers were, like, brutally honest, right? And imagine a clock, right? And David was considered a man after God's own heart. And I believe that this is probably one of the ways why David was considered a man after God's own heart. But imagine a clock, and at 12 o'clock on this clock, David comes to the Lord, and he just presents the facts. He just presents to the Lord the facts of everything that's happening. And so he'll say, like, Lord, my enemies are, like, coming after me. King Saul is, like, trying to kill me. Like, nobody is there for me. Everybody is my enemy. I haven't eaten in, like, days. I haven't had any water in days. Even my animals hate me, right? He's just like presenting the facts, right? And then at 3 o'clock on our little circular chart, David shares with the Lord everything he feels about his situation. He's like, it's just like draining the life out of my bones. I feel like you've forgotten about me. I feel like I'm just so depressed and I'm so weak and I just hate this situation, right? And he's just honest about where he's at in the process. And then if the flow chart moves to 6 o'clock, his prayer begins to change. Because at 6 o'clock, right, so at 12 o'clock, he just laid out the facts. At 3 o'clock, he just shared how he was feeling about it. And then at 6 o'clock, he says, he just starts to describe the character and nature of God. But you, O Lord, are a strong tower. You are my defense. You are my refuge. You are my hope. You are the one that I can put my trust. And David begins to solidify in his mind and remind himself who God is. And then at 9 o'clock in our little flow chart, he starts to align his life and orient his life and his perception of with who God is rather than how he feels about himself and rather the circumstances of his situation. And so he's like, God, here's the facts. Here's how I feel. But this is who you are. So I'm going to orient my life around who you are and not around how I feel or about around what's happening to me. And so he starts praying these prayers. I will put my hope in you. I will put my trust in you. I will worship you all the days of my life. I will teach the people all about you. I will help people know you more. I will declare. And so his life is being oriented around who God is and not around what his situation is and how he feels about it. These kind of prayers will situate our heart in the right direction instead of letting us wander off and just being consumed by our circumstances and our feelings, right? Let me put it in a better way that we've already talked about. This kind of honest prayer will help us find our home in the story of God and not just default to the story of this world. All right, we're almost done. I got like 5 minutes to land this plane. I'm not even halfway through yet. Just joking. Third, intercession prayer. I love intercession prayer because, well, let me just put it this way. In order to really get intercession prayer, we have to have a clear understanding of what intercession prayer is. Intercession prayer is praying from a place of power for the powerless. Okay? Cut and dry. That simple. Intercession prayer is praying from a place of power for the powerless. The way that I love to pray intercessory prayers is just by combining one and two. I take scripted prayers that I see in scripture, and then I go through the cycle of honest prayers, and I come to a place, I pray from a place of power. What is that place of power? It is the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, in the throne room of God. Hebrews itself says, approach the throne of God boldly and with all confidence. And so you can approach the throne of God boldly with all confidence, powered by the Spirit of God, covered by the grace of Jesus, and holding the Word of God, which God himself said, I will watch over my Word to see that I perform it. Are we tracking? Yeah. And then you can begin to pray for somebody who's in a position of powerlessness. When I was in my early 20s, there was a whole group of us, a couple dozen of us, and we were helping serve at this youth ministry. It was like a coffee shop, a concert venue, and a radio station, and all this kind of stuff. And as we were serving there, there was a girl that I served with, and I went to bed one night. It was about midnight, and I fell asleep, and I was kind of in that place of half asleep, half awake, and I started having like this dream, right? And in this dream, one of the girls that I served with at this youth ministry, I saw her kind of like kneeling over a toilet, and behind her was like a Grim Reaper-looking spirit, right? And in one hand, he had the back of her hair, like holding her hair for her. In the other hand, he had a knife, and it looked like he was about ready to stab her with it. And I woke up. I was shocked. I was like, whoo, that was a bad dream. I was like, Lord, what was that dream all about? And I felt the Lord just begin to speak to my heart and said, you need to go pray for your friend. I was like, okay, I'll go pray for my friend. And so I go out to my dining room. I lived by myself, so I could be as weird as I wanted to be. And I could have just prayed. I could have just prayed and said, well, Lord, seems like a bad situation. Bless my friend. I gotta get back to sleep. And that prayer could have worked because the power of God is not dependent upon me, but the Lord was inviting me into a place of intercessory prayer for my friend. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how should I pray? And he said, you should go to Psalm chapter 3. And so I went to Psalm chapter 3. And like I said, whenever I go into intercessory prayer for people, this is what I do now. I just combine 1 and 2, scripted prayers with honest prayers, and I just go through that cycle over and over again. And so Psalm chapter 3 starts out, it says, Oh Lord, how many are my foes, and how many rise up against me? And so I just started praying like that. I said, Oh Lord, my friend, she's got some foes. And I don't know how many foes she has, but those foes are starting to rise up against her. And so I started praying through the Psalms. And it says, many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. Right? And I was like, Lord, these foes, that these demons, these spirits, whatever these things are, they're trying to tell my friend that God will not deliver her, but God, you are the one that delivers her. And I started praying. I just started going through the scripture. My favorite verse was in verse 7, and it says, Arise, O Lord, and deliver, O my God. And I said, Lord, rise up. Deliver my friend. She's being oppressed by something. Deliver her. I love the end of it. It says this. It says, strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. And so I got into it. I was like, Lord, take those demons. Hit them with an iron rod. Strike them on the jaw. Break their teeth. Let them know that they will not mess with your children. Let them know that they will not mess with your daughter. And deliver her. And I kept praying. Over and over again, and I get led to a different psalm, and I get led to a different psalm, I get led to a different psalm, and I just kept praying and praying. I thought maybe I prayed for 30, 40 minutes, and I look out the window, the sun's coming up. It was probably 6 or 7 hours. I never even knew it. Why? Because when you get to a place where you have the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the presence of God, you are praying from a place of power, and that place of power is being interceded for people in the place of powerlessness. So I got a hold of my friend and said, Hey, had a weird dream about you last night. I said, How's everything going? She said, I've never told anybody this. I've been bulimic for 5 or 6 years, and I had gone to the doctor. And the doctor told me if I kept this up, I was going to have a heart attack and I was going to die. She said, last night I had a big meal and I wanted so bad to just go in and throw up. But I felt so strongly that if I started throwing up again, that I was going to die that night. She said, I went in and I was getting ready to gag myself, and I felt just so heavy, like I was about to just die. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And so I went back to bed. And then she said, I got up again, and I just felt like I wanted to make myself sick. And I just felt like I was going to die. And then it went away. So I went back to bed. She said, it happened all night. She said, I woke up this morning, everything's completely gone. And she never experienced bulimia again. Yeah, I mean, it's a miracle. Can you see that when your eyes are fixed on the Lord, joy starts to be produced when you see your Father performing? Can you see how joy is starting to be produced when He invites you in to work with Him and partner with Him? Can you see how joy can be produced when you're just awestruck by the work that He is accomplishing that you never even imagined He would be able to accomplish? This is the invitation that He has for us. This is how joy is being produced. This is the joy that the Scripture calls the joy of our Lord is our strength. Because we not only see the Father working, we're joining with Him, and we're witnessing a miraculous move of God that we never even anticipated to see. If you're, like I said, these prayers, these are just suggestions. But I'm going to tell you something. There's suggestions that work. You can find yourself in the presence of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, going through the Word of God, and it will change your life, guaranteed. Our hope is that the joy of the Lord would be your reality, would be your strength, and would be the life that you live. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your love for us, how you are teaching us how to do all of these things. They are practical. They are easy. Lord, as long as we are not distracted, as long as we are not defaulting to the story of the world, but God, that we are by design, through the right habits and attitudes, finding our home in the story of God, abiding in Christ, Christ abiding in us, and then fruit being produced in such a way that the world will see all the good works that you're doing, and they will glorify you in heaven. Lord, let that be the reality of our lives personally. Let that be the reality of a church. And let the joy go before us, empowering us and compelling us in love to be and do all that you are leading us to be and do. And we love you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day-to-day. And until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.